This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have any Bible passages which guide you in your daily walk? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your word reveals to us great truths, truths that can help us when the going sometimes is very rough, truths that can help us when we grow discouraged and wonder if we can do anything to help bring the kingdom of God closer to hand. Truths, O God, that help us in our own individual lives as we are discouraged with our own spiritual growth. Speak to us this day through that holy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Following the sermon today, we are going to hear George Beverly Shea sing that marvelous gospel hymn, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." I don't think anybody sings it as well as George Beverly Shea, and we need him to bless us with his talent. Friends in Christ. During the 3 years that the disciples walked with Jesus, he said and did many things which made lasting impressions on their minds and souls that guided them in their living. In the same way, if we read our Bibles very faithfully, God will place in our conscious and subconscious minds truths that will bless us and guide us along life's way. I know that's true. My wife has been a very, very serious Bible reader all of her life. And she has stored up many of these great promises, great directive statements that Jesus and the apostles and the prophets have put there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. One day, she had this stroke that I've often made reference to. And when the stroke was over, she was in a semi-conscious state for approximately 5 days. When she was clear again and could talk to me, I said to her, "What was it that gave you comfort and peace and strength as you lay there in that hospital bed?" And she said to me, "Oh, certainly it was the scriptures." And I asked her, "Does one particular scripture come to mind for you?" And to my surprise, she quoted a passage from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, where she said, "I learned this. The eternal God is your resting place, and underneath are his everlasting arms." She said, "When I lay there partially paralyzed, I didn't know which way to turn, but I could feel his arms literally holding me up." That's what you call the daily recall. "Father, something has happened. I don't know what it's all about yet, but can you give me strength?" And here, from that subconscious or conscious mind, come these words: "The eternal God is your resting place, and underneath are his everlasting arms." That's what I'm talking about today, friend. That daily recall. And here is that passage of scripture that I really believe we should take very, very seriously. It is recorded in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, and I'm going to read from the 5th verse down through. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says to them, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and they're burned. If you remain in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." That's the promise that comes from God. And here is a portion of Scripture that I would particularly ask you to carry with you today. And let God put it into your head, into your conscience and your subconscious mind. Very, very simple. "I am the vine, you are the branches." That's a picture. You, if you abide in me, you're going to bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Israel was often referred to in the Old Testament as the vineyard of the Lord. There's a very, very interesting passage in the 5th chapter of Isaiah, the first 7 verses. And here Isaiah is talking about the fertile vineyard on the hillside. The gardener has prepared the soil for a great crop, and he does everything that he can to bring forth great grapes. He looked for a good crop, but it yielded only bad fruit. The branches had detached themselves from the vine. And so the gardener goes out, clips them away, and sends them off to be burned. It is in this picture that Jesus catches the same word. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." What a truth to learn in all of life. But again, I would hurry on to say in this sermon, in the spiritual matters of life, that I have a Father that I can return to because he has given me a word for every circumstance in life. And as long as my life is connected with Him, He will guide me and direct me. Now, what are the good fruits that Jesus is looking for? Well, let's address the congregation. Because we are the body of Christ, what is it that Jesus is looking for as far as the body of Christ is concerned? He's looking for a place where there are spiritual awakenings, where the Word of God is vital and so well presented, both in sermons and in Bible studies and wherever else the group is meeting, that they will come to see more and more what God has in mind for them. It is a church where there are conversions, where people who are very nominal Christians at the best or nominal church members suddenly meet the Lord Jesus, claim Him as their Savior and Lord, receive Him, and enter into a personal relationship with Him. That's going on all the time. So-and-so went to this particular church. He was converted. She was converted. It doesn't mean that they went all over the place telling people that their lives had now changed. But talk with them and they'll say to you, I've heard it again and again. I never knew that these experiences were there. It is on this particular occasion that I met the Lord Jesus. It's a church bearing good fruit that has experienced spiritual growth, where there is a tremendous love for the Word of God, where church attendance is really very, very important. Because if the people in that church love the Word of God, they'll want to be there on a Sunday morning. I always said the empty holes in a congregation are a cause that something is terribly wrong in that church. Sometimes my people used to laugh at me and say, don't you know it's vacation time? And 101 excuses we had. But I couldn't help but think, if the lives of all of those people were related to the Word and to the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be different. I'll never forget the night, and I perhaps have told you this before, but I love to tell it, that my son-in-law, Steve Kramer, and I were in Fullerton, California. We went to hear Chuck Swindoll preached a marvelous sermon. And before the service started, we were sitting out there in their beautiful entranceway, and people came by with their Bibles and a notebook. And we stopped one man and said, do you belong to this church? Yes, sir. I belong now for just a few months. You like this church? Do I like this church? This church turned my life around. I'm growing. Are you coming in tonight? You'll hear some great things. After the service was over, we visited with Dr. Swindoll and happened to ask him the question, how many members belong to your church? To which he replied, I'm not sure precisely, probably 3,500. But he said, what I'm interested to share with you is that today, over 7,000 people worshiped here and heard the Word of God. That's what's important, friend. Loving the Word. That's the fruit that our Lord is looking for. What is your church known for? Well, I sometimes ask that question, and you get some interesting answers. Do you know that church out there in the country? They still have some of the old cooks left. Boy, oh boy, do we love to go out there for their turkey dinners in the fall. That turkey simply melts in your mouth, and then the pumpkin pie. Now, I'm in no way trying to discourage the fall dinner, if that's what you want to have, and the fellowship that goes along with it, and the extra dollars that you can use for the cause of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. But if your church is only known for the church of the great sweet potatoes, is that what our Lord really wanted? Or here's another church. Oh, have you been to their new church? My, it's marvelous. I recently was in a church in Dallas, Texas. It seated 4,300 people. Ours seat about 1,300. And when I saw one 4,300, I just had to sit and look. I asked one of the people who was there as our host, how many people are in this church on a Sunday morning? Well, it seats 4,300, and we figure that 80% is a full church. So 80% of 4,300 times 3. We fill it three times. It wasn't any longer the 4,300 chairs that caught my attention, but it was a fact that there were hundreds and thousands of people who were sitting there every Sunday. Something is going on in that church. It is not of my denomination. Perhaps I would not have cared for the kind of worship they had, but nevertheless, they were hearing the gospel. For I bought a couple of the pastor's books and I've been reading them, and Christ Jesus is in the center of it all. We don't all have to do it the same way, but we better be proclaiming that word, that it can be known as a church of the open Bible, a church where people are being fed with the word of God. Jesus says, I want good fruit. Let me ask you, what are those fruits? He wants us to be very, very active in letting other people know how much God loves them and that their life can only be abundant and eternal life can only be assured to them if they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. My heart goes out to a lot of these churches that are scattered around the countryside. Here in the Midwest, I have visited many of them since my retirement and preached in a lot of them. And I always enjoy coming to the church early and sitting down and talking with some of the faithful. My, these people are children of God. But they are sad. Now, I was in a town here not long ago, and I asked the person, how many citizens live in your town? And he said, 850. That's our latest population. And I said, how many members do you have in your congregation? He said, 200. But then he went on to say that less than 75 members of our church live in this particular town. In other words, there are over 750 people in that town who do not belong to that church. Now, there is another church in town, that's to be sure. Maybe they would have the same statistics. And the point is not talking so much about membership, but it's talking about people coming to church. What do we do with this passage where Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free? And then another verse like we have today, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Don't you think if we would really seriously sit down and take a look at the Bible, maybe a good pastor with a group of people and say, what does God have in mind for us? What does he want us to do? And probably we'd hear the same words that the disciples heard, go into this particular town. Make disciples of all of them. Certainly, they could not be any more against the gospel than they were when Jesus uttered those words near Jerusalem. Talk to them on a one-to-one basis. Don't you think there can be a spiritual awakening in that town too? But what are we doing? Are we really teaching them the word? Are we really telling them that the only way of salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? Do you think the majority of those people living in that town want to die outside of Christ with no hope whatsoever? Do you think that they want to live away from him and have the wretched lives that some of them without a doubt have? I don't think so. And so our Lord is trying to put into our minds today those indelible words. Go. If I live within you, you can go out and tell this glorious, glorious story. But then they say, and this is where my heart goes out to them, for they're lovely people. And they've worked hard and they've built beautiful sanctuaries. They weren't cheap with their money. But they say, we don't know how to do it. And no one comes to help us. I think there the church has got to really take a look and say, what is our mission? No one comes to help us. What about our own devotional life? Apart from me, you can do nothing. I think of young people, your grandchildren, children, or maybe some of your grandchildren who happen to be listening today. Say you're 17 or 18 years old. You got a lot of things going for you, but you got to answer a lot of questions. What kind of work am I going to do? What do I want to become? What kind of a home do I want to have? How am I going to raise my children when I have them? Oh, you say young people don't talk about these things today. Sit down and visit with them in the quietness of the day and see what they're talking about, friend. See what they're talking about. The reason I use the word number 17 is when Jesus said to me very clearly, not out of the blue, out of the Gospel of St. John, apart from me, Homer Larsen, you can do nothing. That was placed in my mind and in my soul. And seldom does a day go by, but what I am reminded of it, apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. That's the answer. God has given it to us. We store it away. It's not some foreign philosophy. And then Jesus has to prune our lives and get rid of some of that which would hurt our relationship with each other. Christians without deeds are like a vine without fruit. A congregation that is served with the Word of God can really expect real fruit, because it will move out and talk to other people about the Savior. So our prayer is that God will be permitted to have His way in our individual lives and in the lives of our congregations, wherever they are. Don't be discouraged. Just take that verse literally and begin to find out what God wants you to do. He's got some mighty, mighty plans for your life. And now again, let's listen to George Beverly Shea as he sings that great gospel hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Amen.
Have Thine own way, Lord.
Father, give us quiet moments where we can stop and listen to what you have to say to us. All of these words that can give us a daily recall that it doesn't look so good, but my Savior has promised me this and that. Many to whom we talk today have heavy hearts. They're discouraged. They know not which way to turn. Many of them mourn the loss of a loved one. Many of them are on their beds of pain. Death draws nigh. O God, grant that they may have a recall, that they may hear a word like this, "My grace is sufficient for you." We commit them into your care. We pray for our congregation, some of them struggling hard. Be with those faithful people. They love you, and they want their homes and their church to be living witnesses for you. Come to them, Lord Jesus. We ask it in your name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Today's service is available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website address has many spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit us at christiancrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor on Christian Crusaders, now celebrating 70 years of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.